seeing a group of people trying to walk through the doors here at the back, the roller door, lined up in numbers of four, the broken, the lame, the bruised, the blind, the disenchanted. And the Lord give us a revelation of the vision, which says in all seasons, He's going to bring back the backslider, the broken, the bruised. Amen. And it's not by might nor by power, but it's going to have to be by His Spirit. I believe that. But we need to be a church that is ready for it. Amen. And I think a lot of times over the years, and I've been part of this, none of us are immune from it. What's happened is there's been a lullaby sung by the enemy that has got people so consumed in self with their own issues, their own problems, their own, and it's brought a stagnancy. Where all of a sudden we're looking for a move, we're looking for a touch, we're looking for something to happen. And yet all the time God is saying, but you're the miracle, you're the sign, you are the wonder. Stop looking at stuff and stop waiting on things to happen. There was a man in the book of John, chapter 5, is that right? Thanks. Chapter 5, who was at the pool of Siloam. Five porches at the pool of Siloam. Five speaks of grace. They were Jews. They were Jews. Church of the Old Testament. Jews. The Bible says there was a great multitude waiting for a stirring or a moving of the waters by an angel that would come down and stir the waters, and people would run to that water waiting to be healed or touched or delivered or set free from their blindness. It says blindness, lameness, and being paralyzed. I don't really know the difference between lame and paralyzed, but there was something that hindered their walk, something that stopped their vision, and they were waiting for a move of God to change them. And Jesus says something quite profound to them, to him. He represents church. Said something like this: do you want to be made well? I mean, what a statement to make. I mean, the man's been there 38 years. Now, Jesus is quite specific to tell us how many years he's been waiting there. Because he's lost life, he's lost youth, he's lost strength. 38 years waiting for a move of God. 38 years hoping something would happen for him. 38 years where he was lame, so lame he couldn't get up, so needful that he had to rely upon others. He lacked strength. I will get to my word in a minute, but this is part of it. He lacked strength. And I really believe the church has been lacking a strength in itself. So consumed waiting for a touch or a stirring of something to get me motivated and moving. Because unless there was a stirring and a touch, he could not move. Are you with me? He could not move. He was stuck. And one of the greatest challenges the body of Christ has got today is this. He lost youth, didn't he? He lost youth. He lost life. He lost vitality. One of the greatest problems in church today, in the Western church, is that we're losing our youth. So many other things have been offered to them. So many other things of entertainment, of whatever fits them to make them feel better. Jesus asked the man the question, do you want to be made well? So I looked up my concordance and I looked up my dictionaries and I looked up my commentaries. Then I went to the Amplified Bible. The noisy one. And it says this: do you earnestly want to be made well? That word earnestly means this: Have you got a mindset that is determined to be made well? Hello. That puts a perspective on not a question, but now a action that I have to do. Are you determined to want to be made well? And there's so much happening in the body of Christ lately that there's sickness. And I'm not just talking physical sickness, I'm talking about spiritual sickness. There is sickness. There is blindness, lack of vision. There is lameness. It's affected their walk. And there's paralyzed. They can't walk. They're stuck. When Jesus realized the man had a disposition to say, I want it. When he realized Jesus is not going to talk about what people haven't done for him. Jesus never mentioned that there was no, he mentioned it. There's no one to help me to get into the pool. Jesus never mentioned it once. Jesus didn't say, you poor thing. Not once. Jesus never mentioned that for 38 years he might have had some nigglings with people that beat him before. He's waited 38 years. One bloke might have only waited a year and someone's picked him up and put him in. He didn't talk about people's relationships. He didn't ask him how it was all going. All he asked him is this. Do you want to be made well? And if you do, stop blaming your condition, other people, your circumstance, your lack. Stop blaming people. Now I'm going to give you the strength to get up and walk. As you get up, now don't forget his legs haven't worked for 38 years. That's a miracle all by itself. But when you get up, you better roll up what you found comfort in for the last 38 years. Pick up your bed and walk. You better wrap up all the disappointment, all your pain, all your sorrows, all your stuff that people might have done to you. And they might have done it. But if you camp there, you're going to get robbed of life. You're going to get robbed of strength. And you're going to be in a community. Because it says that there was a big multitude of people around this pool of Siloam. Five porches. This place of grace. Well, God, you'll do it. You'll do it. You'll do it. You'll do it. God, your grace is, you'll do it. I'm allowed to feel like this. I'm allowed to talk like this because your grace allows me to do that. His grace does not allow me to whinge and complain. His grace doesn't allow me to hold a grudge against another. His grace doesn't allow me to gossip against another. He had come into this place of community where there was a multitude of people at the pool, and that multitude of people all were in the same problem. Broken, bruised, battered, lacking vision, lame, blind, lacking vision, blind. I want to share you this morning very quickly. It's time the church got up, wrapped up its blanket, that thing of comfort that we find, that place of community where I'm looking for another to agree with my problem. Hallelujah. Is this okay? I know it's New Year, but this is all right. You will always find someone that will agree with you. Hallelujah. It's called familiar spirits. You and I have got to be very aware who I hang around with, whom I'm doing community with. Amen. Hallelujah. Are you with me? It's imperative that this man, what he did, he got up and he walked. And Jesus made him break every rule. because it was the Sabbath. And of course, the religious weren't celebrating that he got healed. Oh, no, no, no. The religious were asking questions like this. Who said you can do that? What right have you got to do that? Don't you know it's the Sabbath? Who told you to carry your bed? He didn't know. He said, I don't know. I just heard this bloke over there say, get up and walk, and I've walked. It says Jesus found him in the temple. He didn't find Jesus. Jesus found him. May I say something this morning? No matter what you're going through, your God knows exactly where you are. He knows exactly where you are. And if you need him, he is there. Now, he won't listen to your complaint. No use you going to Jesus saying, well, Jesus, you don't understand. This person's really... He knows. He knows. He already knows everything. He knows the thoughts and intents of everyone's heart. He knows. What he wants is a people that are whole enough and healed enough to say, Lord, I let it go. I let it go. Because if we truly go back to that scripture in John 21, I believe it is, about the net being cast. When Jesus says, cast your net on the right side. Cast your net on the right side. The right side is his way of doing things. The right side is his way of acknowledging things. And if I don't go on the right side, I come up empty. If I want to see something happening in my family, something happening in my home, something happening in my church, something happening in my community, I better get on the right side. The right side of God. That means I can't afford to have a problem with people. That means I can't hold a grudge. 1 Corinthians, I think it's 13 or 11, 13, 11, 30, says this. For you did not discern the Lord's body, therefore there's many weak and sickly among you, even to death. Remember that scripture? I know we don't like talking about that sort of stuff, but it's the truth. There is many weak and sickly among you, even to death, because you, 11:30, because you have not discerned the Lord's body and his blood. Who is the Lord's body? You are. So when I gossip, when I pull down, when I have an issue with, when I have unforgiveness flowing, we are not discerning the Lord's body. Therefore, it can make me weak. And if I keep on to it, I can become sickly spiritually and maybe physically. Even unto death of your joy and your peace. Hallelujah. Happy New Year. But if you want a new year, we've got to do something new. We can't keep camping around the same old stuff, expecting God. 38 years he waited. 38 years waiting for a move of God. And God saying, you're my move. Change. Stop holding things with people. Stop doing things that you shouldn't do. Stop touching things you shouldn't touch. For I am holy. Be ye holy, for I am holy. Doesn't mean I do everything right. Doesn't mean I don't muck up. Doesn't mean I don't fail. But what I do is I refuse to camp and allow that thing to blind me, lame me, or paralyze me so I cannot get up and walk. Amen. One of the greatest aspects of church One of the greatest things Jesus did was build a body of believers. He left his Holy Spirit with the church to build the church, to edify the church, to make the church mature so it can be a witness to him on the earth. Amen? That we might see his kingdom come. So the kingdom of God, number one, says the kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God is within you to bring a demonstration of the kingdom of God upon the earth. Yet there's another part of the kingdom that has not yet been fulfilled that is yet to come. When he comes to rule and reign upon the earth, thy kingdom come. So he needs to see a reflection of kingdom living on earth as he comes through his church. Who believes that? Thy kingdom come. We pray it. We say it. But that's what it means. Thy kingdom come through you to demonstrate to the world that he's alive. Thy kingdom come, which is my hope of glory. My hope. That's the gospel that we preach. The gospel that we preach is the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's coming back. He's coming back. He's coming back. Where there'll be no more tears. There'll be no more sorrow. There'll be no more pain. He's going to come back and all things will be under his feet. He's coming back to rule and reign. He's coming back. That's your good news. I don't have to try and persuade someone to say, well, if you give your life to Jesus, you know, he can touch your knee. Oh, if you give your life to Jesus, he might heal your ears. I've got no right to say that. I don't know what God's going to do with their life. They might get struck by a car tomorrow. Shouldn't have said that probably. But it's the truth. The good news of my gospel is this. He's coming back. Glory to God. So we spoke about the nets already. I'm trying to compartmentalize this all so you can understand. You are the nets. You are the nets that God is weaving together so he can catch something. You are that net. But a net is fitly joined. Amen? There is no way I should allow things of schisms and divisions within the body because I don't want any holes in the what? The net. And if I do it his way, because I can toil all night, but when you get closer to the shore, it says, have you caught anything? No. Cast your net on the right side. The right side already, God had already spoke to the right side because there was 153 fish waiting to be caught. So when you're doing things on the right side of God, there is always provision. It is not an effort because it's a move of God. When you're doing things on the right side, your night season is finished. When you're doing things on the right side, your God speaks to the circumstance of your lack. When you're doing the right side. The right side is his way of doing things. The right side is doing what he commanded to do. The right side is being a community obligated with a sense of duty to fill the will of God. That's really what community means. A union of people together with an obligation and a duty to do something together. Community. God is into community. He's right into community. It says, and when he gathered them all together, he said. And when they were all in an upper room together, then he spoke. God's into community. He's not into islands. We need to learn to be in community. Amen? Are you with me? On the right side of God, God has already been at work. On the right side, he has some of which is my more than enough. His sum is my more than enough. On the right side, my night season ceases. On the right side, I have enough strength to pick up what he said to pick up. It says when Peter caught the fish after he had toiled all night, it says he lifted them up. When you're on the right side of God, he will strengthen you above what you think you can do. On the right side, my nets will be full. On the right side, there's value in the catch. Turn with me to Ecclesiastes 4, 9 and 10. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 and 10. I don't know what slide that is, but it's up there somewhere. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 and 10. Can't find it. It's up there? Okay. Ecclesiastes 4, verse 9 to 12 says this: two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls and the other can reach out to help, but someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm. But how can one be warm alone? A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. A three, even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. I just want to address something. I backslid for 3 years. I did not go to church. I read. I prayed. But I used to say to God, I love you, but you can keep your people. They're just a bunch of hypocrites. And I was right. I was. Anyway. But that's exactly where the devil wanted me. Alone. Because if I needed someone to pray with me, I didn't have anyone. If I needed someone to encourage me, I didn't have anyone. If a dilemma happened in the house and I needed help, I didn't have anyone. So when I hear backslidden Christians say this, you don't need to go to church, it's a lie from the pit of hell. Because when you're alone and you're trying to fight against the devil, sometimes, just sometimes, you need someone to have your back. You need people. And so if he can isolate himself, the book of Proverbs says this, a man who isolates himself is after his own gain. So consumed is he in himself that he doesn't think he needs anyone else. 28:1. Thanks, darling. Proverbs 28:1. It's a lie from the pit of hell. You need to be part of a community. You need people in church. Whether you like them or not. Hallelujah. So he will make things happen. He will cause me to get on the right side of God. And if I don't learn to get on the right side of God by humbling myself, by seeking his ways, not my ways, by saying, God, I love your people. God, help me to love your people. God, keep me away from... No, don't say that. He will cause me to keep fishing on the left-hand side in my night season. Hello, Israel, going around the mountain. He will cause it to keep happening in my life until I make sure that his ways become my ways. And that which I once didn't like, I can now like. That one which I couldn't love, I now love. For it's easy to love someone that loves you. Is that what the Bible says? But he will cause me to keep doing my night season until I say, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. Amen. And it's this net that say, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. This body of people, this community of people that he will bind together, that he can entrust the people in the net with. Because when that net is pushed out, you're going to grab all sorts. It ain't all going to be good fish eating. There's going to be all sorts in that net. The ones that don't need much cleaning. The ones saying, I've spent weeks helping to clean this fish and it's still in rebellion. It's still fighting me. And some, you just say, here, Jesus, this is for you. And put them on the altar. Say, too hard, I can't do it. There's going to be all sorts that walk through the door. There's going to be all sorts that when we get the fish on the right side, he's going to bring in all sorts of people. Different theologies, different ways of thinking, wokeism, LBGTQRSTUVW, XYZ. Thank God we don't have a Thailand alphabet. That's 52 letters in the alphabet. 52. But we've got to be a people that are ready to say, Lord, prepare me as that net. Get me ready. God, if I'm the one that is waiting for a move of God, if I'm the one that's waiting for something just to happen, Lord, give me the word, give me that word today. And hear me. If you want to hear from heaven, read your Bible. If you really want to hear from heaven, just read your Bible. So many Christians are running around looking for a word when the word's in front of them. Thanks, love. Appreciate that. Am I prepared to pick up what I've been resting on? What I find comfort in? Am I to say, yes, Lord, I'm going to wrap this thing up. It's going to go under my, I'm going to get ahead. And the minute I make a decision, he will strengthen that which was once weak. He will be able to get you up. And you'll be able to walk the walk and talk the talk because you're doing it in his strength, in his might. Hallelujah. Take up your bed, wrap it up. Wrap up that emotional baggage, that place of disappointment, that rejection. You've got now the strength to carry it. If we really knew who was in us, if we really understood he lived inside of me, greater is he that is in me than he that is in this. Hallelujah. Now walk. Walk in what? Walk in this. Walk in a mindset of faith instead of a mindset of failure. The first thing that he touches, he touched the man's mind. He challenged his thinking. Jesus challenged his thinking. Do you really want to be made well? Have you got a mindset, an earnest mindset that you can believe me to get up? A mindset of faith instead of failure. A mindset of, at his word, I have the power to get up. At his word, I have the power to get up. A mindset of, if I keep waiting for a move of heaven, I might not get what I'm hoping for. For I need to act upon the word of the Lord and get up and walk. You're waiting for a move, a touch, a stirring, or something happening for you. But maybe if you just allow the word of God to do the stirring and the provoking, maybe if you just get enough into the word that God shows you things and reveals things through the word that will cause your spirit man to be provoked, that will give you the strength to get up. A mindset of, I need to do community. I need to be part of the net that he's weaving. I'm not a lone star. I need people. I need people. The body of Christ grows by what every joint supplieth. Is that the truth? A joint is a minimum of two parts. His word is a move of heaven. I need to be about the master's business because I want to cast my net on the right side. I want people saved. I want people delivered. I want people set free. I don't want just Sunday meetings praying for the sick in church. I want the church to get up. I want the church to say, I've got the power and the strength to walk. If he said it, I can do it. If God asked me to do something and he hasn't strengthened me to do it, he's an unjust God. He will only give me, he will not give me any more than I can handle, number one. In other words, you've got the strength to overcome this. If he's revealing something to me that needs to be overcome, he has already equipped me to overcome it. My God is not an unjust God. He's a just God. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but 2024, I am thirsty to see souls saved. I am thirsty to see souls saved. I am thirsty to see families united. I am thirsty to see kids walk in the divine purpose of their God. I'm thirsty to see the Christian kids move in the things of the Lord and have a relationship with Him all by themselves. I don't want them just to know of Him. I want them to encounter Him. I want them to have not just have a feeling about Him. I want them to know that they know that they know that they are saved. So when, and I tell you, they're going to see things, experience things what we cannot even comprehend. But if when God is for them, and they've been born for such a time as this, otherwise they wouldn't be here. God is going to equip them to bring change and to be part of the net in their community, even in the schools, to see this manifest demonic woke spirit pull down once and for all, where people get back into their right mind. Sorry, Christian schools, if you're hearing this, but you're just as bad. Jesus has to be glorified. He is my source, not my government, not their handout. He is my source. So when push comes to shove, and it will, when push comes to shove, I'm not going to have to go begging to the government for my need. For I will have a source from heaven. I will have something connecting heaven to my house. And I will believe that I believe that I believe he will supply all my needs according to his riches in glory. Hallelujah. But I've got to be a man and a woman of a different spirit. I've got to be a man and a woman that is being entwined in this great net to catch an end time harvest. And hear me, I don't know how many more harvests are going to be. The problem is the harvest has been white for 2,000 years. Here's God's dilemma. The laborers are few. Because most of the laborers are stuck at the pool, waiting for a move, waiting to be touched, waiting to have the fuzz and the bars of their anointing. But if you really want to be well here this morning, you have to make a conscious decision to wash your mind with the water of the Word of God. And once you do, say, yes, Lord, and have put faith, not in the move, but put faith in the person that makes the move. His name is Jesus. Put faith in him. You will see that he will give you strength to stand where you couldn't stand. Move where you couldn't move. Act like you couldn't act. Speak how you couldn't speak. All for the glory of the kingdom of God. 2024 is going to be a shaking year. It's going to be a year of shaking. It's going to shake some strongholds in our heads. going to shake some wrong concepts in our minds. He's going to change people's thinking so they come forth on the right side of God wholly. He will build his church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. There is only one thing in the New Testament Jesus ever said he would build. He never said he'd build anything else but his church. He didn't say just build you. He'll build his church. Whatever that compromises of. Baptists, Pentecostals, Charismatics, Evangelicals. I think we'll be surprised who the church is. Hallelujah. Don't get stuck in your thinking that you think you're the only way. Amen. Do you love him? Who's ready to change something in their life? Who wants to come into 2024 different? Who wants a new mindset change? Who wants to be part of the net? Who wants to see a harvest? I want to be part of the few. I want to be part of that few. So when I stand before him, he'll say to me, "Well done, you good and faithful servant. No accolades, no status, no position. Just good, faithful servant. Enter ye into the rest of the Lord. And here's your reward." Amen. Let's stand this morning. Hallelujah. Sorry if you came to be stirred and touched by a prophetic word or whatever. But I really believe it was a prophetic word. God is looking for some net builders. Some of us will be repairers of the net. Some of us will wash the net. Some of us will cast the net. But the reward's all the same. He will have whom he has ready to be caught in that hour. Amen. Hallelujah. For God so loved the... For God so loved the world that he gave. Can you give to him this morning? Can you give of your self? I really believe God's here this morning to give you strength to stand up. And we're living in dire days where we need to stand up. We need to stand up. We're living days that we need families to be unified and touched, Christ-centered. And we can play with the waters, and we can make excuse after excuse after excuse of why it's not happening. But God's not interested in the excuses. All he's interested in is this. Do you want to be made well? He challenged his thinking. Do I want change in my house? Do I want change in the community I live in? Do I want change in the community of the church? Do I want it so Christ-centered? Do I want my community saved for Jesus? Every head bowed, every eye closed this morning. Here's the word of the Lord. Do you want to be made well? If you do, He is here to give you the word of faith to get up. Do I want to be part of the net that catches the lost? Do I want my family set? Am I prepared to let go of the left to get back on the right side of God? What is coming out of my mouth? If you want 2024 to be different, our prayer should be this: Lord, here I am. Change me. Change me. Change the way I think. Change the way I act. Lord, forgive me of making excuse after excuse after excuse and living on them excuses and being comforted by those excuses. God, give me your word that I can get up and walk as you've designed me to walk. If that's you this morning, you lift up your hands before the Lord. He has a word for you. He's come to visit you. Out of all the multitude that was at that pool, he only visited one. Just one. If you want to see change, Father, you see our hands raised this morning. God, we've come to do business. We've come to do business. Father, we say, here I am, Lord. Change me. I thank you this morning for visiting me. Thank you, Lord, you went out of your way to seek me. Thank you, Lord, your word delivers me. Thank you this morning that when I am weak, your word can make me strong. Thank you, Lord, you don't want me to be stuck, but you want me to walk out of the situation I'm in into the fullness that you have for me. I thank you, today is a brand new day. And I decree and declare 2024 will be a year of harvest for me and my house. Will be a year of harvest for me and my community. Will be a year of harvest for your church. That you're going to have a church that will stand strong, bold, full of the Holy Ghost, ready to display the kingdom of God. I thank you, today is that brand new day, and your mercies are new every morning. Forgive me for seeking a fuzz and a buzz, a move and a touch. Help me to be a student of your word. Help me to love your word. Help me to accept your word. And let your word bring change into my life in Jesus' holy name. And if that's you this morning, you tell him amen. Let it be so, let it be so, let it be so this morning. We give you the praise and glory. Just let's wait on for a minute. Hallelujah. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Terrence Marie, you just come to the front. Hallelujah. You just hold hands. Hallelujah. For I will cause a unity, says the Lord, that no devil in hell